Full Service Radio is proudly supported and hosted by Simplecast, the easiest way for a podcast creator to publish and distribute audio on the internet. For more information, visit Simplecast.com.
Full Service Radio.
Stacy.
Paul.
I'm scared, girl.
Because it's Halloween? You're a grown man. Why is it scary?
Girl, not because it's Halloween. I've been trick and treating for 30 years. The 2018 midterm elections are next week, and I'm terrified about Blexit.
A what?
Girl, Blexit, an exit of black people from the Democratic Party. Kanye's backing it, and when Kanye wears the MAGA hat, he feels like Superman, which means he has super hearing, and I don't want him to hear me saying, I agree with John Legend.
Oh, it's okay. Kanye said he's not supporting Blexit anymore, and he took off the MAGA hat.
So, he's not Superman?
No.
That's wonderful. I can talk normal and maybe listen to Graduation again. There's nothing to be afraid of anymore.
Well, except the president wants to abolish the 14th Amendment, birthright citizenship, the amendment which was brought in to protect black people from being denied as American citizens.
Well, thank God we can fight back next week.
That's right.
To all our listeners, this is a chance to show the government, the president, the country, and the world that Americans won't tolerate the politics of division and hatred. Use this chance, get out, and vote. You have the power. Please use it. Welcome to politics. Welcome to episode 10 of Politics with me, your host, Paul Wharton. And back with me after a break last week is my beautiful co-host, Stacey Rush.
Hey, Paul. It's so good to be back. I missed you.
Oh, girl, I missed you too. If this is your first time joining us for Politics, then check out all of our previous episodes. Last week, we had the fabulous and amazing HBO star, Amanda Seales, and Real Housewives Monique Samuels.
That was such a great show. And we are back at the Wonderful Line Hotel in D.C. thanks to Jack Inslee and Full Service Radio.
That's right. And we're going to cover a whole bunch of topics today. Yes. But before we do, let's give a shout out to our amazing sponsors. ABE Networks is the premier custom residential commercial technology firm in the entire DMV. Their award-winning organization utilizes premier products fused with your home's decor, resulting in a top-tier personalized experience. Security systems, lighting controls, energy monitoring. I mean, if you want to control your blinds through your phone, they can do it all. Check them out at abenetworks.com. Mervis Diamonds, engagement season is upon us, so romantic. And I am hosting an exclusive designer preview next Friday, November 9th from 5 to 8 p.m. at the Mervis Diamonds DC location. That's at 1700 K Street. Come meet me and check out all the exclusive offerings from Mervis Diamonds' red carpet holiday event in December. Check out MervisDiamonds.com and I'll see you on the 9th. Batar Cosmetic Institute. It's always a good time to pull yourself together, and there's no time like the present. Batar Cosmetic Institute is partnering with Curio Wellness to offer a one-night-only ladies' night discounted injectable event on Thursday, November 15th at Curio Wellness in Timonium, Maryland. Get up to 30% off just in time for the holidays. For more information, check out BatarCosmeticInstitute.com. And finally, Metro Offices, the premier full-service workspace solution for professionals in Maryland, D.C., and Virginia. With 9 offices throughout the area, they are sure to have a location and service plan that works for you. From virtual plans to full-time offices, Metro Offices has you covered. Check them out at MetroOffice10.com. Hey, girl.
Hey.
Welcome back from your vacation. Back
Thank
to
you.
Your vacation.
God is good. From one amazing place to the next.
I thought things were supposed to be tough for moms.
No. It is always a good time. We were in Anguilla together.
Okay.
And it was so beautiful. I was doing yoga on the beach with my little girl.
I saw that.
Isn't she so sweet?
For anybody that doesn't follow you, follow Frarush on Instagram, and you can see all of Stacy's great adventures with her beautiful daughter.
I have to be honest with you. You know, having taught yoga for many years, you can imagine what that must feel like for me to be practicing with her and to see her, you know, her eyes light up when mm-hmm. she says, Namaste. It's
yes.
so cute.
So she really knows it, huh?
Oh, yes.
She knows the
position. She asks for yoga.
Wow.
She's like, Mommy, can we do some yoga? And I'm like, yes, we can.
I love it.
Yeah.
So you're out there in the burbs. How was Halloween? Did you all dress up?
So last night I went to a friend's house, a girlfriend of mine, and we just watched the kids run around and act crazy and eat a whole bunch of candy. They went trick-or-treating, of course.
Yeah.
But I wasn't dressed up. What did you do?
Well, yesterday, you know, I dressed as Prince. Until the end of time, I'll be there for you. All right, so I have Prince on my brain.
You
so
do.
You know you missed last week's show.
I know, but you know what? It was the bomb. That
Jack
was
is mad
a
too.
Great
our producer Jack
show.
He is so salty.
Listen,
about
Jack,
missing last week's show.
We both are gone, and all of a sudden, it's a party in here, honey.
Oh, I'm booked up.
Oh my!
Oh, y'all gonna leave town?
I was a little jealous. I'm like, well,
I got not one but two
and
TV
are rocking
stars.
The house without me.
So if you all don't know, please listen to episode 9. We had the star of HBO's Insecure, Amanda Seales.
Yes.
And we also had Monique Samuels from The Real Housewives of Potomac.
Yeah, love
but Amanda
her.
Seales was here in town to do Smart, Funny, and Black at the Lincoln Theater last Thursday, which I did with her. And Stacey, you know this. I was on the phone with you, like, okay, we got to get my blackness in check. Stacey and I was singing rap songs to Stacey, like,
listen,
I don't know all the words. You're like, you're doing better than me. You are doing better than me.
You were doing your prep work, okay? You were prepared.
Exactly.
I'm like, okay, Paul, you took this seriously.
I took it very seriously.
And so what happened? How did it turn out?
It was an amazing show. I gave so much. I have to tell you, by the time the show was over, I literally wrung my hair out. That's how wet it was.
Oh, my goodness.
Somebody wrote on their Instagram, Paul Wharton left it all on the stage because gave the best show possible. But in the beginning of the show, the two contestants decide how they're going to ring in. You can either go, buzz, that's boring.
Okay.
That's what the other guy did. But
no shade.
What I decided I was going to do is anytime I knew the answer to something, I was going to say, purple rain. Purple rain. So at the beginning of the show, goodness, I said that. And so Amanda looks over to her band and she says, you know what? Let's do it. Let's just do it all. And they start playing Purple Rain.
To sing the whole song?
She gestured with her hand to me. You got the stage. And I'm like, I didn't know they were going to do that. You remember?
Oh, my
We God. Talked about Purple Rain.
We were talking about songs.
And
yes,
you said, oh, no, not that one. It's too slow.
Yeah, I thought you should have something more upbeat. What happened with Purple
Girl.
Rain?
Girl. If you want to see it, go to my Instagram for the highlights. It was amazing. Sold out audience. 1,100 people. I did not win Blackspurt. Best Blackspurt.
I can't believe it.
I did not because
I
was
the other contestant?
Against someone that had a master's degree from Brown in African American studies. But I'm going to stand behind
Lord.
The fact that my experience being from Cleveland and having the kind of family and the friends that I've had in my life, I believe I am the supreme Blackspurt of the two of us. He knew dates and facts and figures about a lot of things from the 1800s. Now, he did get me there.
Okay.
But in terms of just really being a part of the Black experience and being able to share that with the audience, I held my own.
Oh, I'm so proud
so
of you.
So I believe it was a tie, but regardless, it was an amazing experience. And Amanda said that it was hands down, if not the one of the best Smart, Funny, and Black shows she's ever had.
Oh my gosh. I love it. I'm so happy
and
for
even
you.
Better, I made a new friend.
And who's your
Amanda.
New friend? Oh, okay. I was like, wait a minute.
No, we made a new fan, a friend with Amanda. So
yeah
she's
great.
My friend in LA. So I want to talk about some Halloween. We were talking about Halloween and since we just celebrated Halloween, we need to pick up on a big incident that ignited discussion again around cultural appropriation and freedom of speech, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it is, of course, about Megyn Kelly, formerly of Fox News Channel and now formerly of NBC.
That's right. She was actually fired from her job at NBC after a really short time. I mean, how long has she been doing the
Girl,
show?
It was tricky from jump.
It was. You're right. Home it
girl,
was.
Have you ever gotten a job and you knew that you were not qualified?
And you know it's going to be short-lived.
And you know they overpaid you. And so you try to show up and every day.
Oh.
You know she was probably smoking a pack of Newports every morning, sweating. Lord,
yeah.
I'm going to keep this job one more day.
I don't think she ever connected with viewers. Wouldn't you agree?
You know, and they tried to change the format many times. I think at first they didn't have a studio audience and they tried to bring a studio audience. In.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And then if you notice, they start putting a whole bunch of Black people in her studio audience. And it's just like, where are you getting these people? But basically, there was a topic on the show. She talked about blackface. And she kept saying, well, if you're a black person who puts on whiteface or a white person who puts on blackface, well, first of all, those are two completely separate issues. But she expressed that she didn't think that there was a big issue right. with that. They did reference the Countess Luann dressing up as Diana Ross
right.
on The Real Housewives of New York. And if that was in fact blackface, there was no issue with that. Now, I didn't necessarily see Luann's costume as blackface. Her tone was a little darker than normal, maybe just a slight twinge of bronzing.
I agree with you, but I do think that I agree that she wasn't in blackface, mm-hmm. but I do believe that costume was disrespectful. You know, she had the exaggerated fro. I mean, it was like 4 feet high right. from the top of her head.
Right.
And I don't think that she was wearing that outfit to pay tribute to Diana. In sure. my opinion, I thought it was disrespectful in the way that her appearance was exaggerated.
Yeah.
But I do not think it was blackface. I agree with you.
I thought it was just a bad hair choice because had she had the proper hair and she...
So you think she just didn't even
have
a clue?
She was saying that she is a huge fan of Diana Ross, which I believe that she probably is. I mean, I've partied with that Countess Luann.
Have you?
Yeah. She came to a big party. Misa Hilton... P. Wow. Diddy's ex is a good friend of mine, and she just did a documentary film in collaboration with MCM.
Okay.
And, I mean, Bevy Smith hosted it in New York, and I was there. Claire was my date. We had a great time.
So Luann
came in.
She's nice.
She's nice. We were jamming a hip-hop. I mean, nice.
Does she have sense?
She's got some sense.
Okay.
She was hanging out with a whole bunch of black folks having a good old time that night. I mean, you know, most people, I don't know. I feel like Luann wanted to make a splash with that costume. I feel like the hair was way off, and Diana
yes.
Ross's hair has never looked like that. So for that, she gets a fail. But
exactly.
I don't believe it was blackface. I just don't agree with Megyn Kelly equating blackface with what Luann was wearing. But I don't agree with her assessments of blackface and the fact that it's not harmful, even as a Halloween costume.
Yeah, I don't understand how someone who is as educated and media savvy and successful as Megyn Kelly, I don't understand how she, I just don't get how she can be so tone deaf.
Right.
It's like, I just couldn't even believe that she would say that out loud. It's one of those things where someone says something and you're like, did she really say that out
sure,
loud for us
sure.
to hear? You know, it's one thing what you say at home. We all say things at home in the privacy of our families and our friends. But for her to say, you know, when I was growing up, it was totally fine. And I think it's okay if you're doing if it's for a character. You know, we are not characters. We
Absolutely.
Are a people. I'm not a character.
So she did apologize the next day. She had Roland Martin on her show. And 2 days later, I had a chance to hook up with Roland. Friday, we celebrated Monique Presley, my attorney, her birthday.
Uh-huh.
And Roland came to the party, and I talked to him a bit about the Megyn Kelly interview. I mean, he completely took over her show. It was like Megyn Kelly was a guest on her own show with mm-hmm. Roland Martin. I mean, he gave her a bit of a shellacking, but she needed it. But it leads me to, Stacey, do you feel she should have been fired?
I do. I think it's irresponsible to speak in that way, even if you think it. I think that as a television host on that level, on a national show, she has a responsibility to be intelligent and to be thoughtful in what she says, even if she's leading a discussion. I expect that from her. And
Where were her producers, though?
Yeah, I think
you know,
she
like,
failed.
We can't be here without Jack. Jack, I want to have you in this conversation because the day that she chose to talk about this, about the blackface issue, she had three other white people on her show. There were four white people on a panel with black people in the audience. As a producer, do you feel a certain responsibility to, I mean, I know certainly here you know, we create our own content, but those people like work on a show and it's all for the good of the show, hopefully
yes.
too.
Oh,
but if
yeah.
you saw me going completely in the wrong direction or something that you knew was going to have me lose sponsorship or piss off a bunch of people, as a producer, wouldn't you have some kind of input on that?
Absolutely. I mean, you should if you're a good producer. So I do think it's a failing of the production team as well. It doesn't really take any of the responsibility off of her, but it's their failure too.
Because I think if she had a black person on the panel that day, at least someone that was woke or informed or, you know, had a point of view, like an Al Roker or
right.
one of the other people that are there. Chenille's there now. You know, Hoda doesn't. Is Hoda black? I mean, Hoda doesn't call herself black.
I don't know.
She's not really black.
I'm not sure.
I think she kind of, you know, she does both. But no, but somebody there with a point of view could have turned that conversation in such a way where it could have been a learning moment for Megyn Kelly. And I feel like maybe she may not have been fired because they could have made that conversation, had a conversation.
Yes.
Do you think it was off script? Like,
I don't.
You know what I mean?
Do you think that
you like
think
her comments? Do you think it came as a surprise to everybody?
I think it was definitely a surprise, and I wanted to ask you, Jack, and Paul, mm-hmm. what do you think about the people that were at the table not challenging her when she said that? Don't you think that like the people that are seated around the table and they're looking at her and they're hearing her? Why didn't they say, well, Megyn, girl, I'm going to have to disagree? Or why didn't those other guests speak up? Do you feel that they should have?
It is interesting because Melissa Rivers, you know, I follow her on Instagram. You know, I had the privilege of going to Joan Rivers' house when she was alive. Mm-hmm. And we had a great party there and just meeting all those people. That was wonderful. So, and I have a great admiration for Melissa and what she's gone through. And I just really loved her mother a lot. So I was a little surprised that Melissa didn't have more of a point of view, because if you think about Joan Rivers, who didn't have more opinion than Joan Rivers?
That's right.
And this is her daughter. And I was searching through Instagram to see if anybody that I could see, you know, took her to task over not having more of an opinion about that. And I couldn't find anything. But when it comes down to it, like, this show is politics. So if we have guests in here or people that are contributing, they can say certain things. But I guess if it came out of my mouth, I mean, it's my, you know, I kind of go down with the ship.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you know?
Yeah. It's
not really, I guess, if you're a guest, maybe you're worried you wouldn't be booked again on other shows if you come out the host like that. I mean, that's part of it, maybe.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're right about
know.
That.
So now Al Roker is taking over for that time slot. Did you hear that?
I didn't hear that officially.
He is.
That's so interesting, because for many of the listeners and people that know me, you know I'm friends with Tamron Hall.
I love her.
So before Megyn Kelly had a show there, Tamron Hall and Al Roker had the 9 o'clock hour, mm-hmm. and they had a top rated show. I remember when Tamron Hall was guesting on NBC Today Show. I was at her house, and she had made a decision that if they didn't offer her a contract by Friday, okay, it was a specific day, by this Friday, she's not going back there, and don't even reach out to her again. I mean, this was her position with her management.
Okay.
And they came through with that contract, and that's how she ended up on the Today Show. And I remember, you know, I was privy to that kind of interaction.
Uh-huh.
I think I wasn't as privy. We didn't have that kind of, we didn't have a scenario where I was sitting in her living room like it was the first time. And that happened when Megyn Kelly took over. But I do know that they were giving that 9 o'clock hour to Megyn Kelly, offering Tamron an opportunity to stay on, but more as a B player to Megan's star.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And, you know, a lot of people that are fans of that show and fans of Tamron, she wasn't no B player.
Right.
So what do you think now? Is it kind of like, nah, nanny, boo, boo, I told you.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely, I think so.
Yeah.
And I also think, you know, the thing with Megyn was, it wasn't just her. You know, it was her history. You know, mm-hmm. she said some crazy stuff before that when she was at Fox in terms of race.
Santa Claus is white.
Yeah, she said Jesus is white and Santa Claus is white. And that's just a fact.
And that's just a fact.
Yeah, so it was sort of, it wasn't just this, you know, very well-known celebrity journalist that was coming and taking over. I mean, she clearly had a history of saying things that were, you know, tinged in racism.
Sure.
So I think that also had a lot to do with everyone's overall negative feelings about Tamron being sort of pushed to the side.
Absolutely.
Her. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with Tamron now. I mean, I'm excited to see her. I want to know what she's doing now that, you know, this Megan's not coming back, and what's going to happen? What
do you
think?
Apparently, well, what's happening with Tamara now is she's working with Hearst on her show. So she, in certain markets, there's, you know, between Kelly Clarkson and Tamron Hall, somebody is going to get the Steve Harvey spot.
Right. Because Kelly Clarkson has a new show coming out.
Kelly Clarkson and Tamara, but there's really only one spot. Okay. There's a Steve Harvey time slot because Ellen's not giving that up. I mean, people don't give those slots up. I mean, it just completely changes your life. You make so much money. You have such a great social impact. So what's happening now is Tamron's developing a show. Kelly Clarkson's developing a show.
What do you think about
both that? With Hearst, somebody's going to get the time slot.
What do you think about Kelly Clarkson having a show? Honestly.
I mean, I'd much rather watch Tamron's show.
Oh, well, I mean, that's a given. But I mean, in general, what do you think about people who are not necessarily journalists or in television or in the media coming on and having their own daytime talk show?
I mean, I think if they're really interesting, then fine, let's do it. You know, someone that's not a journalist like Tyra, she came on and did it and her show worked. For a long time. It wasn't forever, but it was for a good long time.
That's right. Harry Connick Jr.
His show was
still on, right?
No, it's not.
Oh, okay. But it was a good show.
It was good. It lasted for a couple of seasons, and he was very entertaining. I think that, you know, it's harder also for men in that kind of daytime. I mean, you know, because I haven't seen since Donahue.
Right.
Like, what other men, unless you're doing like Jerry Springer type things on the CW, I don't really see a lot of men. Now, Steve Harvey, his show has been on for a good long time.
Yes.
He moved his show to LA and the format kind of changed. So, you know, I don't know. It's kind of like if it ain't broke, don't fix it. You almost can't change the format of a show mid-run.
Mm-hmm.
You know, his show was working.
So why change it?
Why change it? You just kind of have to ride it out. And I know I talked to a friend who is an executive at the company that produces Steve Harvey's show. And he said, you know what? Basically, Steve Harvey is an amazing talent.
He is.
He is really, really good. But you can't be good at everything. Doing the morning radio show, doing Family Feud, doing Little Big Shots. All of these different shows that he did, you know, it's kind of hard to. And on top of that, you have a daytime syndicated show on a major network. I mean, that's a lot of hats to wear.
That's a lot.
That's a lot.
Well, even though his show is being canceled, just like you said, I don't think he's going to be hurting for a job. Steve is going to be A-okay.
He's going to be A-okay. And if you follow Miss Marjorie Harvey
on Instagram, she gives me life.
She gives you life, and your homeboy better go to work. Because
he needs all those jobs.
She is not on nobody's budget.
Oh.
It's so interesting. Speaking of Marjorie Harvey, her best friend Millie was here last week, and I got a chance to meet her last Friday at the party I was telling you about, and we hit it off so well. So shout out to Millie. She's just fabulous. Hopefully she's listening. And Shonda. Shonda was married to Ben Wallace.
The
basketball player,
yes.
Ben Wallace. So
yes.
Shonda Wallace and Millie Smith, who I really like. She's married to Stephen Smith, who was also a basketball player.
Okay.
Those are my two new girlfriends who I love. So listen, as I said at the beginning of the show, the midterms are just around the corner. Listen, people, you all have to use your vote. Please use your vote. Like right now, we can early vote here in Maryland. In Virginia, certainly early voting has started.
Absolutely.
It's your right. And we've all been angry and upset about what's going on. So now we have a chance to do something about it. And we figured we could pick up a couple of big stories here. What do you think, Stacey?
Absolutely. So I wanted to talk about...
Stacey Abrams, right?
Yeah, exactly. So we've got a lot of heavy hitters that are coming out to support her, mm-hmm. right, Paul?
Yeah, we do.
Like
Oprah.
I love it. Every time you say Oprah, like your face
Oprah,
changes.
Oh, that's good. Now, listen, I was a little salty with Oprah. Speaking of, oh, that's good.
Wait.
I was salty with her.
Why?
When Hillary was running, Oprah waited to the very last minute to take a position on that. And she would come out and say things like, well, you know, there's only one choice, right? You know, because she had a position, which I respect, where she didn't really get involved in politics.
Uh-huh.
And she didn't, you know, for Barack Obama, she did.
Yes, she did.
But, you know, she said that's the one and only time. But I feel like I know for sure she didn't get involved until it seemed detrimental at the last minute. Right now, Stacey Abrams is running for governor of Georgia. Uh-huh. And Oprah is breaking her usual non-political stand to campaign for Abrams because it seems that it's neck and neck right now. But the Republican opponent, Secretary of State Brian Kemp, is accused of purging thousands of registered voters, black men.
Oh, gosh.
A lot say that they're black men. So do you think that this will have an impact? Is Oprah being pulled in because of the current state of politics? And do you think it'll make a big difference?
I think that anytime Oprah lends her voice to a cause, it will make a big difference because it's just a reflection of who Oprah is. But I think that this is, I really believe that Oprah, even though she has said she wanted to stay away from politics, with the exception of Barack Obama, I think that she feels the way that we all feel right now in this political climate, and that she has to speak up. Mm-hmm. You know, isn't that how you feel right now? It's the times that we are living in are so insane and so critical mm-hmm. that we all feel that we that now or never we have to speak up.
Absolutely.
We have to do something. So that's what I believe.
You know, this is why I love things like Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, because you really become your own network. This is why I do a podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'll share something with you. I had been sponsored by big corporations for many years. I had worked on, you know, the CW. I'd worked for Fox as an employee. I felt great restriction on my voice, what I could say. And it started, it just doesn't start and stop when they yell action and when they yell cut. Mm-hmm. It trickles into your real life. And before you know it, you start editing yourself, constantly editing, thinking about what you're going to say before you say it. And by the time you say it, sometimes the moment has passed.
Uh-huh.
So I really respect the fact that people are really using their own Instagrams and their Twitters and their Facebooks as their medium to get their message out to people.
Yeah.
And it can be used for evil.
Yes.
But I think there's a lot more good than evil. And for people like us, I mean, you know, we can use this podcast to get the message out. So I do think that it makes a difference. I do think that it makes a difference.
I do too. And I also think it makes a difference when you have celebrities, you know, like Oprah, who are standing up and putting their foot down and just really letting you know where they stand as a human being. For example, like Rihanna, we were talking about her turning down the opportunity to headline the Super Bowl. And she did that because mm-hmm. of, you know, the controversy that's happening right now with Colin. Is it Kaepernick? I
yeah,
always feel like
Kaepernick,
I'm mispronouncing his name.
Absolutely.
Colin Kaepernick. And she said, you know, I align myself with him, and I align myself with what he and other players are, you know, fighting for.
Yeah.
And she turned it down. That makes me like her even more.
Yeah.
Because again, it's about being a human being. It's like, it doesn't matter that I'm this megastar. It doesn't matter what my sponsors are, you know, expecting of mm-hmm. me. It doesn't matter. This is who I am, and this is what I stand for. And I applaud her for that.
Yeah. Well, you know, speaking of that, my good friend, Jennifer Lewis, she did a tribute this week to Rihanna and Cardi B. Did you see it, Stacey?
I did. It was so powerful.
It was powerful. So for our listeners that haven't had a chance to listen to that, let's play it for you.
My sincere congratulations to Rihanna and Cardi B for refusing to perform at halftime. And why is that, Miss Lewis? 'Cause that's enough. Everybody check your soul at the Super Bowl. That's enough. Take away their fun before they shoot your son. That's enough. Our ancestors kneeled in the cotton fields. That's enough. Whites, blacks, Jews, we've got to refuse. That's enough. Get a backbone before a bullet comes down on the back of your own. That's enough.
before another hate crime. Be the gladiators of our time. You're the gladiators of our time. You want a standing ovation? Take a knee for the next generation.
Woo! What do you think?
I when I watched it, I actually got chills up the back of my neck.
Mm-hmm.
What about you? I mean, it was just...
I hate to toot my own horn, but I was on the line with her when she was creating this song.
What? Are you serious?
Well, you know, Jennifer and I are really good friends, and we talk several times a week, and we talked last night. Oh, so funny. Last night we were on FaceTime while the kids in her neighborhood were coming to trick-or-treat.
Where does she live?
She lives in California, in L.A.
Okay.
She lives in L.A., and it's so funny, the first time I went to her house, and then we're going to get back to this tribute, but I'll just fill our listeners in. The first time I went to her house, you know, I'm so used to, there's this movie that she did called Jackie's Back. And so Jennifer plays a character named Jackie Washington, and they have like Jackie Washington Day. It's like a cult classic, and everybody loves this movie. Well, anyway, she plays Jackie Washington, and Jackie Washington is like a former star that's kind of rebuilding her brand and her career.
Uh-huh.
And she lives in this little, very modest little rambler out in the valley. So the first time I went to Jennifer Lewis's house, I was expecting to roll up on Jackie Washington's house. And I'm like, I roll up. And I'm like, okay, Jackie Washington, the driver said, oh, here you are. We're here. And I said, oh, this can't be it. Because we rolled up to this house. And I'm like, this ain't Jackie Washington's house. A star lives here.
Was it beautiful?
Yes. Girl living like a star. And then when I thought about it, I'm like, God, well, she's been in over like 100 movies and TV shows. And so she, you know, opened the door and opened her heart to me. And we've been really good friends ever since. So when, you know, she keeps creating these songs in the hopes that they'll catch on. And they have.
Yes, they have.
And hopefully they've gotten people to register to vote and now getting people to early vote. And hopefully by November 6th, getting everybody voting. So when she was writing this, she was playing it for me on FaceTime, and I had a tear in my eye.
Yeah, it's moving.
It's powerful because people don't really realize the impact of this. They don't put themselves in the position. People really do listen to people like the president, and they say, oh, they're disrespecting our veterans. No, they are not.
But when
your son or daughter gets gunned down, maybe you'll listen then.
Mm-hmm.
It really is enough. And whatever happened to the separation between church and state? Wouldn't football be a part of that? Like, why is what somebody is standing for, their protest, how come the president got involved in that? And how was he able to really change the narrative, to be the players against the veterans and against the military? Do you have an opinion, Jack, about that?
I mean, it's all publicity and PR and TV, right? I mean, I guess it's a private company and it's all sponsors and stuff like that. So if people that are patriots and believe in that are buying the products the sponsors are selling, and then that becomes a sponsorship thing.
Mm. It's really interesting because if you think about back to the Megyn Kelly conversation and people being held accountable and people like her losing their jobs for making a terrible mistake on air or just, you know, sharing their thoughts and that being kind of against the right, not being on the right side of history.
Uh-huh.
How come the president is the only one, it seems, that is not being held accountable for his very reckless behavior and messaging?
I think that is a question that we all are wondering about. We all want to know, how is it possible? You know, I don't have an answer for that. It's shocking when you phrase it that way, isn't it?
Yeah. So you talked at the beginning of the show, Stacey, about the president banning or saying that he was going to ban birthright citizenship. So after the 13th Amendment, the U.S. Supreme Court upheld the principle that African Americans were not automatically citizens. So the 14th Amendment introduced birthright citizenship.
Right. So that means that when you are born in this country, you are automatically an American citizen.
Regardless of where your parents
were born. Yeah, it does not matter. Right.
Exactly. So it was applied by the Supreme Court to the children of immigrants too, and ever since, anyone born in the U.S. is like you said, a citizen. So, it just gets you thinking.
Why now?
Like, why now? I mean, to me, I see the president showing signs of extreme anxiety and fear over not being in control of the House and the Senate.
Uh-huh.
And the messaging as we get closer to this election, this midterm election, is getting more and more reckless. And some of the things that even Andrew Gillum in Florida that he's been saying about him being a thief. And there's a new message out right now. There's a new ad that people were talking about on the way over here today, that the president is now running or is supporting, or maybe he's in the ad,
okay,
accusing Gillum of being a thief. And people are saying that it is obviously and overtly racist.
Yeah.
And have you heard that?
I haven't heard it, but it's in line with him also saying that he is a nationalist, and mm-hmm. he is aware of, you know, the connotation, but he is saying he's a nationalist according to his own definition, mm-hmm. which I think is grossly irresponsible.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, it's ridiculous. It's sort of like when people say, oh, I would like to, you know, put up the Confederate flag because it isn't about slavery for me. For me, it's about history. It's like, yeah, totally ignoring the meaning for the rest of the world and giving something that we know is overtly racist your own meaning just so that you can do it. And I feel that that is what Trump is doing.
Absolutely. So, you know, a Trump supporter mailed pipe bombs to a dozen Democrats, to CNN. And a right-wing terrorist tragically carried out an anti-Semitic attack in Pittsburgh, which just really, I mean, I think we are in a combined state of depression. We really have to be there for each other right now, because mm-hmm. these are really trying times. I used to hear my grandmother say that when I was a kid. And yeah. I'm like, what are trying times? Let's go out and play. We can have popsicles. And I'm like, you ain't seen trying times.
Yeah.
It's so sad. I thought we were so far beyond this.
Yeah, and we are not.
So he can't say, so what's happening now is he can't say we should be scared of white people, because these are white men that have been our homegrown terrorist. So he's trying to blame foreigners again. And do you think that's why he's bringing up this whole, the caravans are coming?
Yeah.
They're going to be, they picked up members of ISIS along the way. They're going to rape and kill and take over your communities. Why aren't we hearing more about the Trump supporting guy who made the bombs and sent them all around? And how come we haven't heard more about the anti-Semitic attack in Pittsburgh?
I think, you know, my husband is German, so needless to say, we have talked a lot about German history. And of course, there is, you know, what happened with Hitler. We have talked extensively about that, and I know a lot about that. And I just feel that, like Hitler, this is a very strong statement to say, but it is how I feel, and I feel like I'm be honest sure. with you. I feel like Trump is inciting violence, and he is building this energy of a fear of others, mm-hmm. a fear mm-hmm. of a certain group. And it's really reminiscent of, you know, the way that Hitler came into power.
Mm-hmm.
I strongly believe that. And it's scary, Paul. It's really scary.
It is. And the only answer I have is we have to vote. I know a lot of people are registered to vote, and that was something great. I'm so happy you did that. But now you actually have to cast your ballot. So we have to get out. We have to vote. We have to make this right. And the only power we have is in voting. Last Saturday, you know the actress Regina King?
Of course.
Don't you love her?
I feel like, you know, she's my sister friend in my head.
No place like home, Donna.
That's right.
With your family around you, you're never alone. And you, no need to run, no need to hug. Because there ain't no place like better, believe it. Ain't no place like better, believe it. Ain't no place like, there's no place like home. I mean, no place, child.
Woo!
Okay. So that's from 227.
Oh my goodness. We just blew Jack's mind. Mind blown.
That is from the hit show 227, where she played Brenda, the daughter
of
Marla Gibbs, back in the day, a long, long time ago. Of course, she's had an illustrious career.
Yes.
She continues to, you know, break the glass ceiling. She just won an Emmy.
For right? 7 seconds? Did you see
seven
that?
Seconds. I saw 7 seconds.
Do you know that the final episode made me cry like a baby?
Absolutely.
I was literally bawling
watching the
final episode.
I cried as well.
Yeah. Wow, that was just great. Great TV.
So we got together for the collective pack, and we strategized on how we can get more people out to the polls. So the collective pack's mission is to build Black political power, and through their various entities, they do this through educating and equipping voters, donors, and candidates with various resources, including training, technical assistance, paid communications, and fundraising. They are specifically looking to improve our democracy by addressing the underrepresentation of African Americans in public office and through recruitment, training, and supporting voters, donors, and candidates. They will build an entire new generation of Black civic leaders on the local, state, and federal level. So it was great having Regina King here in town for the culture. A great event, pulling people together. My friend Christy Henderson was one of the chairs of that event. So all we can really do is continue to use our own platforms, whether that's your email mailing list, whether that's your Instagram, definitely your social media, your Twitter, and get people to the polls. Not saying what you should do when you get there, but you know, everybody should cast their vote.
Yeah, now or never.
Right, exactly.
Now or never.
Because can we take 2 more years of this foolishness?
Oh,
woo. Checks and balances, people. Checks and balances. So what's coming up for you, Stacey?
Well, next week, I am so excited. I'm shooting a segment for Good Morning Washington for the Good Morning Mamas.
Oh, I love it.
I'm shooting a segment at Beloved Yoga. That is in Northern Virginia and Reston, Virginia. And I'm doing a segment on Mommy and Me Yoga and why it's so important and how it's so wonderful. So I'll be highlighting some of the classes that they offer and talking about my practice with my daughter. So I'm excited.
I'm excited about that, too.
Yeah, it'll be really sweet. What about you? What do you got
Fantastic.
Coming up?
Fantastic. Well, I said earlier in the show, next Friday, I am hosting a Diamond event. It's a pre-designer preview at Mervis Diamond's DC location at 1700 K Street Northwest. That is next Friday, November 9th from 5 to 8 p.m. And I hope to see everyone there. We will also be announcing on next week's show, we're doing a pop-up live podcast like Oprah would do. It's going to be probably the next week because you're traveling.
Yeah, I'll be traveling at the end of the month. Yeah, we're out of town for the holiday.
Okay, fantastic. Well, I want to try to make sure that, of course, I can't do it without my fabulous co-host.
No, you can't.
But I can't wait to meet the people. We're going to have special guests. We're going to have giveaways. And so that should be a lot of fun. So tune into next week's show and also follow us on Instagram. I'm Paul Wharton Style on Instagram. Stacey is Fra Rush on Instagram.
That's right.
Follow us and we will let you all know all about that. Tell your friends about the Politics Podcast. Go online, give us a 5-star review. Please share and send your email, your messages to paul@paulwhartonstyle.com.
Yes.
Or Stacey, or do you want to give out your email address
no,
or they'll just send
you know,
it to
I,
me?
I, they can just send it to you.
Yeah, send it to
but
me.
But keep the comments coming on IG. Like, people are engaging. We want to know what you think. We, especially because we're covering so many topics together.
Yeah,
we want to know what you think. Let us know.
Let us know. We want to talk to you. Lots of great guests coming up. Live shows. Come to our events. And hey, we love you for supporting us.
We do.
Stacy, so good to have you back, girl.
I'm so happy to be back with you.
All right, guys. See you soon.
Bye.
Paul Wharton, he'll get you hooked. Beauty tips and life advice. How to eat right and be feeling nice. Strong woman, strong mind. The inner goddess you will find. Iconic homes, celebrity faces, TV shows and exotic places. He's there for you if you need to feel better. Paul is here pulling it all together. He's there for you if you need to feel better. Paul is here pulling it all together. He's there for you if you need to feel better. Paul is here pulling it all together. He's there for you if you need to feel better. Paul is here pulling it all together. Paul is here pulling it all together. He's there for you if you need to feel better. Paul is here pulling it all together.